This is God's holy word. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. May God be honored at the reading of his word. You may be seated. The invasion of the Ukraine remains much on my heart and my mind, maybe for you as well. As we see the constant news of bombs destroying apartment complexes and homes, civilian casualties, even children, cities surrounded with no power, no water, over 1.5 million people have left their home country. It is certainly heartbreaking. In the midst of the chaos, I've also seen a beautiful picture of the church. On the day of the invasion, a small church, the one we prayed for, Calvary Chapel in central Ukraine, they gathered together. And they did exactly what we are doing right now. And with the time difference, I think it's evening over there, and they may be gathering as we speak, other Christians in the area. They gathered to worship. So on this picture that I actually saw in an article of this church, there was someone with a guitar. Some people were sitting, some people were standing, heads were bowed. Some people had their hands raised in worship as the troops approached. When Christians meet, something amazing happens. God's grace gives strength to his people. As we gather, we are experiencing Christ together. We're experiencing the one who is our refuge and strength, the one who heals our wounds, the one who fills us with peace and joy, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, even war and invasion. So while this crisis in the Ukraine is shocking, at least it has been to me, it maybe shouldn't be. It's not unique. Throughout history and even recent history, there's severe persecution in many countries, severe persecution of Christians in many countries, including North Korea, China, many other places. It's happening all the time. Even in our recent history, there's been brutal conflict in Syria and countless other places where Christians were impacted. And then there have been natural disasters that have impacted Christians, including in the Philippines, where Jen is from. So what do Christians desperately need in times of crisis? What do we need today? Healing and strength is what we need. Healing and strength. And we receive this from experiencing Christ together. So in our passage today, we learn more about the gifts that Jesus gives to the church. The risen Lord Jesus gives spiritual gifts to his body for such a time as this. Our main point today is this. In the church, we grow as we experience Christ together. We grow as we experience Christ together. So I have three main points underneath that. The first one is this. Leaders equip the saints. Leaders equip the saints. So let's look back at the text. We'll start at verse 7 here of chapter 4. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So Jesus is the living God, the only true God, the God who gives to his people. His resurrection flipped the script on religion. All other religions require adherence to give to the deity, but Jesus gave himself for us. And he just keeps on giving. So when it says there, he ascended and descended in verse 9, in coming down to earth, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, descended into death on our behalf. That's what happened at the cross. Jesus was our substitute on the cross. That was the death we deserved to die. But Jesus, the Son of God, took that, and he didn't stay dead. He rose again. This is why we have hope. Even in the chaotic times, we have hope because Jesus is alive. He ascended to the place of highest glory and honor and power, and now he fills all things, and he gives gifts to his people. There's several other places in the New Testament that describe spiritual gifts beyond what we're looking at today. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, Romans 12, and 1 Peter 4. Each of these passages has a slight different emphasis on spiritual gifts. What's the emphasis here in chapter 4 of Ephesians? What gift does Paul mention is a gift from the Lord to the church? It's leaders. The gift talked about here are leaders in the church. Christ gives leaders to the church as a gift of his grace. Specifically, in this text, Paul is focusing on word gifts of leadership. Leaders who are speaking, preaching, teaching God's word. The best gift a leader can be to the church is to faithfully preach and teach from the word of God. So let's look at the three categories of leadership he talks about here in verse 11. So first he says he gave the apostles the prophets. These are foundational offices for the church. They laid a foundation. Other places in Ephesians link these two groups of people together, apostles and prophets. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, and Ephesians 3, 4, and 5. So I believe they go together. The apostles, there's a limited number of apostles. They were in there in the early church. They literally saw the risen Lord Jesus, and they were given a specific task by the Lord to spread the gospel, to lay the foundation of the church through preaching and through many of them writing most of the New Testament. That's the apostles. The prophets are linked together with them. They are also foundational. They received revelation from God. Though there does seem to be a difference between apostles and prophets because in 1 Corinthians 14, 37 and 38, Paul says that prophets must submit to what the apostle Paul says. So there seems to be the apostles have the foundational authority, and prophets have to submit to what Paul is saying in the scriptures. So the prophets receive revelation from God. So that's the first category, foundational office of a gift that Christ gave to the church. Next, it says he also gave the evangelists. So God gives a special people to the church who proclaim the gospel in new lands where the gospel has not been preached yet. These are evangelists. And as people respond to the gospel, believe in Christ, they are gathered into churches, just like we're gathered here today. And that leads us to the last office, which I link together. Many commentators link together, shepherds and teachers. In this list, in the original language of Greek, the shepherds and teachers are the only one that have the word and linking them together. So for this reason, many commentators think it really should be shepherd-teacher. It's one role. So the shepherds and teachers. Once we have churches, God gives the gift of a shepherd, a teacher, to care for the sheep. So shepherds care for sheep. That's what they do. Shepherds guide, shepherds protect, and shepherds feed sheep. How do they do this in the New Testament? By preaching and teaching the Word of God. The ministry of the Word is vital for the health of the flock. Just like sheep die without a shepherd, without guidance, without protection, without food, so a church languishes and dies unless they're fed a healthy diet of the Word of God. So I just ask, as an aside, would you pray for me that God would always help me to be faithful to His Word in the preaching and teaching? And I ask you to hold me accountable. And any other pastor, if you join another church one day or years from now, in God's will, there's another pastor sitting here, standing here. Hold your pastor accountable to be faithful to God's Word. Hold me accountable to be faithful to His Word. One way that we hope to do that as a church this year is to identify elder candidates. That's actually the same word that I would use here, pastor, the shepherd teacher. I believe the New Testament teaches a plurality of leadership in each local church. And that's one way that a pastor who's preaching can be held accountable when other pastors are are a part of the church, lay pastors who are there as a part of the leadership. So that's one of our goals this year, that we identify other men to be elders at this church. So that's something to pray for us. That'll be a very good thing for us as a church, a good milestone. So as a goal for Grace Fellowship, we want God's Word to be the dominant voice in all of our groups, in all of our gatherings. On Sunday mornings, that's why we have a call to worship of God's Word. That's why we have Old Testament reading. That's why we preach from God's Word. That's why we have a benediction. That's why we have songs that are biblically focused songs. God's Word is the dominant voice. That's what we desire. Even at our other meetings, our grace groups, our Sunday school for children, our guys and girl time, we want God's Word to be the center. Because it's through God's Word that we experience Christ together. God's Word points us to Jesus. That's what we want. That's what we need. It's through God's Word that we experience the healing and strength that we need. One way that we do that, specifically here at Grace Fellowship, is something known as expositional preaching or teaching. This basically means that you go verse by verse through a biblical passage, and that the main point of that passage should be the main point of the sermon. So generally this means what we will usually do at Grace Fellowship is preach through books of the Bible, like we're doing through Ephesians. I do think there is a time and a place for topical studies and topical Bible studies. I think those can all be very good. And there will probably be times that we preach a topical, messages. But generally, we will go through books of the Bible, verse by verse at a time. What is the purpose of all this? Why do I tell you all of these things? The purpose for leaders, the gifts God has given to this church and to the church, is found in verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. So as God has given me to Grace Fellowship, by His grace, my job is not to do the ministry. My job is to equip you to do the ministry. That is what we all do together, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Just like in the Ukraine, we see leaders there equipping civilians to fight. It's an amazing thing that we're seeing there. We too have an enemy, Satan and his demons. So I want to equip you in the battle. We too have a mission. It's not just to get by. It's not just to grow this church so that there's more chairs and more people and eventually another building. It's to spread the gospel here, up on the mountain, everywhere. Our mission is to go make disciples of all nations. So by God's grace, that's my goal. I want to equip you to go do that, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So for you to think about that through listening to me preach Sunday after Sunday, I'm sorry, through hearing other people preach and teach, how can you be equipped through this? Here are two ideas for you, how you can be equipped. I hope, I pray that you will take something from the sermon or from a Bible study you come to. You would just take one thing, even if it's just going back to the text, even if there's nothing helpful that comes out of my mouth some Sunday, but you go back to the Word. Maybe it's on a Sunday afternoon. You take 10 minutes and you look back through the passage and you just take one thing from it. You write about it in your journal. You talk about it with a friend. You pray about it. Ask God to change you through His Word. Just take one thing. If you do that week after week, be amazing what God does in your life. So, as we become, all of us become more like Christ through that process, we will be the kinds of people who go out to do the work of ministry as we're being transformed. And that transformation is a part of the work of ministry. You will be participating in your own sanctification, the work of ministry, becoming like Christ as you're looking back over the passage of Scripture from the sermon or from Grace Group or whatever it may be. So that's the first way. It's more of an inward focus. The second way you can be equipped is an outward focus. What can you share from this passage with someone else this week? Who else needs to hear about something from this passage? Certainly someone else needs to hear about Christ, the resurrected Christ, the gifts He gives, how we equip each other in love. Perhaps it's a believer that you can encourage, someone from another church, someone who sometimes comes to church but doesn't always come, someone who lives somewhere else. Can you text them? Can you call them? Can you have a conversation and encourage them? Say, hey, God really has been working on me with this verse. I just want to share it with you. That's another way you can be equipped for the work of ministry. Even a great way, I think, to share the gospel with people who don't know Christ is to tell them what Christ is doing in your life. Just through a friendship. Say, hey, can I share something with you that, you know, my preacher said or from the Bible that God has been teaching me? That's a great way to invite people into the family of God. Just regularly, casually have conversations about what you're learning. So those are ways that you can be equipped. I hope there are many other ways. So leaders must equip the saints for the work of ministry. And if I can ever help equip you, if you ever have a question about something in Scripture, if you ever have an area in your life that you need or want to grow in, if there's anything you are just interested in studying or interested in doing, always come and talk to me. I want to help you. I may not have all the answers. I know I cannot change you. But I want to help point you to Scripture and point you to the God who can help you and change you. So please, always let me know how I can equip you. That is my goal. I think that is my job here. So leaders equipped. That's our first point. Our next point is this. You are vital to this church. You are vital to this church. Let's look back at the text. So it says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Did you hear it? Did you notice how interconnected we are? How vital it is for the whole body of Christ to be involved using our gifts as we experience Christ together. It says, we grow joined and held together by every joint when each part is working properly, makes the body grow. It's when all of us are working together that the body grows. So I learned a few things this week about the human body. I know maybe we have a few people here who've studied the body a little bit. I learned some amazing things that the body does every minute of our life. So just check this out. So the eyes interpret, I don't know how they know this, but 600 million bits of visual information every minute. I don't even really know what that means, but it's amazing. Our nerves send 60,000 different impulses every minute. Our hair, all 100 or 150,000 of them, are growing constantly. So they're growing every minute. We blink about 20 times every minute. We take about 15 breaths every minute. We're producing saliva constantly. Our body is monitoring hydration levels so that it'll tell us when we need to drink more. Our hearts are pumping anywhere from 60 to 100 times a minute, and that within a minute, it's going to pump a gallon and a half of blood throughout your body. Your body will produce 120 million red blood cells in a minute. Isn't that just crazy? Our bones are constantly repairing themselves. Did you know that every 10 years, you basically have a new skeleton? Our kidneys are filtering blood at 1.2 liters a minute, and our whole body's producing about 6,000 joules of energy a minute. I heard that's enough to do a bright light bulb. You're shedding 40,000 skin cells a minute. Isn't that gross? That's why there's all that dust in your house. And the last thing is there are enzymes in your body constantly checking your DNA strands for signs of cancer and trying to, repair at all times. So no wonder we are tired a lot, right? Our bodies are working. They're working hard. So the human body is incredible. I'm sure that's not even a fraction of what our body is doing at all times. Each part is integral for the life of the body. Each organ, every process is absolutely necessary for the body to be healthy and for the body to live. So we are the body of Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are vital to the health of this body. Each one of you are vital. We grow as we all experience Christ together, as we serve, as we love each other, as we grow together in relationships, in outreach, in prayer. This is the Lord's church. We are equally all a part of His body. You may wonder what gifts you have. You may wonder how you could fit in. You may doubt that you have a role here. You may wonder how you can be involved. So here's my advice to figure it out. Just dive in. Just dive right in. Dive into relationships with each other. When we gather together at our regular times and other times, get to know each other. Be in each other's lives. Dive into outreach. Come help us on March 26th. I'm really excited to reach out with the love of Christ with you guys. Dive into prayer. Let's pray together this Wednesday night. Let's pray together at all times. Just call each other up and pray for each other on the phone. Meet up for quick prayer before work. Whatever it may be, find ways to pray together. Dive right in. While I do think spiritual gift tests can be helpful, I think an even better way to learn your gifts is just start doing something in the church. Start serving. Other people will notice what you're doing. From your own self, you will see a joy in certain areas of serving or an effectiveness. Or you may get encouragement from someone to say, hey, you're really good at that. You're really blessing our church through that. I think that is the most effective way to learn your gifts. So at Grace Fellowship, we are called to do a great work. It is amazing what God has done already. That we are sitting here as a new church, a little flock. But God is using us to establish a church here. So it is a great work that God is calling us to do. But I do want to say, church plants are famous for something. Not a good thing. Church plants are famous for burning people out. For burning people out. Especially people who are really involved with the core group. People who are really serving from day one. There are statistics out there. It's really alarming that 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, usually all of those people have left the church because they've burned out. And I know God calls people to different places, and we understand that, but we want to be aware that we don't want to burn out. That's something I have a concern for you. I don't want you to burn out. We are a small church. There's lots of work to do. It can be a grind, so we need to pace ourselves. It is a marathon, not a sprint. I'm more naturally a sprinter, but this is a marathon that we're engaged in here. We need to pace ourselves. So we need to share the load. And I hope that everybody would feel comfortable with letting me know if you ever are doing too much in the church. If you feel like you're wearing thin, you need a break from this area or that area, I hope you will feel very comfortable telling me that. And the other thing to really guard against that is whatever you're doing, if you're serving in any way in the church, invite someone else to do it with you. That way we'll have more people doing it and we'll have someone to, you know, to help out and perhaps take your place. So invite others along to serve, to be involved. And even more than that, we should all pray for ourselves and for each other what Ezra says in Nehemiah. He says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That we need supernatural joy to be able to do this work that God has called us to do. So all of us have a part to play, from the senior who's about to graduate college to the six-year-old who's coloring right now. Hey, Thomas. Everybody has a part to play, even you, Thomas, and Lucy, and Joshua. Y'all have a role to play here at the church. And don't let me forget Ruth and Jack. You guys have a role to play too. So we all have a job, whether it's a young family, empty nesters, single or dating, everyone has a vital role. And I want to say this before we move on to our last point. Take heart, little flock. God made you just how you are. He made you just how you are, and he's placed you here for a purpose. If you struggle with thinking you're worthy enough to serve or you're just not good enough to really be much help, consider the price that Christ paid for you. He paid the price of his life. So you are worthy in his eyes through his grace. And together with all of our weaknesses, we actually are strong and we fit perfectly together. So ask yourself, how can I dive in at Grace Fellowship? So we've seen that leaders equip, and we've seen that each of us is vital. And our last point is this: we grow by speaking the truth in love. We grow by speaking the truth in love. Let's go back to the text, verse 12. So the leaders are there to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So Paul says our aim is to become more like Jesus. As we experience Christ together, we are transformed into his image. How amazing is that? To become more like the perfect Son of God. That is our destiny. If your faith is in Christ, your destiny is to become more like Christ. And you will be like him when he returns. We're becoming more like him in our love, in our showing grace to others, in our purity, in our speaking truth, in our seeking justice for the oppressed. So in these verses, negatively, Paul says that what we are like when we're not growing together. We're like immature children. We're like a storm-tossed boat with no direction, in danger. We're like people who are ensnared by false teaching, false doctrine, by cunning, by deceit. But when we're growing together, we attain a beauty and a strength that we're destined for. It says we attain the unity of the faith. We're striving toward the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this is not just head knowledge. The Pharisees certainly had a lot of head knowledge about the Bible. It is head knowledge and heart desire. It isn't just knowing the right facts about Jesus. It's loving what you know. It's loving him, yearning for him, becoming like him in our inner being, not just in what we do, but in our heart, which spills out into deeds of love and mercy and truth. This is a complete transformation that certainly only happens by Christ doing it in us. So Christ did it once and for all. That's Ephesians 1 through 3, all that God has done for us, first three chapters. Now we're in Ephesians 4 through 6, He's given us the gift of each other to help us grow into the destiny that we have, which is to become like Christ. These verses tell us how to grow, speaking the truth in love. So it says here, speaking. If we're to speak with one another, we have to be in relationship with each other. If we're to speak to each other, it's more than just a text or more than just a quick hello. It's really speaking honestly and openly with each other. So we need time together. We need to form relationships with each other. It says speaking the truth. So what is the truth? God's word is the truth. We need to speak God's word to each other. We need to remind each other when we're struggling, when we go through hard things, we need to tell each other what we might be forgetting in that moment. The truth of God's word. God loves us. God has a good plan for us. God is working things out. A part of speaking the truth to one another is to be honest when we're struggling, to not just say, I'm doing good, I'm doing fine. We find healing and strength in confessing our weakness, the truth that we're weak and that we need help, help from God and help from each other. And it says, speaking the truth in love, just as Christ loved us, we are to love one another. So that's a sacrificial love. It's a love that really wants good for the other person. So how should we think about our church in this age? In a war-torn land, physically and spiritually, the church is a hospital and a gymnasium. The church is a hospital. It is a place for healing for the wounded. It's a place for rest for the weary. So as we gather around God's word, as we're experiencing Christ together, our medicine is the word of God. The Holy Spirit is coming into our hearts in connection with God's word. And this word is administered in love. That's our medicine. So the church is a gymnasium. As we're growing in our faith, we're training for the race of life. We're equipping each other for the battle that we are in. And our training regimen is the word of God, empowered by his love. So our final application today is that we need to celebrate. We need to celebrate when we see God at work in other people. If you see someone serving, celebrate them. Tell them that you see God at work in their lives. When someone cooks a meal, thank them. When someone says something that's encouraging to you, tell them that they encourage you. Write them a note. Give them credit. So I hope this doesn't embarrass anyone, but last Sunday, we had a wonderful evidence of God's grace that just kind of keeps building. And it started with Jackson here inviting his pledge brothers to come to church, which we were so glad y'all came and so glad y'all are back here today. Jackson invited them. Before church started, the worship started, Joshua helped me set up for the service. If we didn't have the chairs here, we wouldn't have had the service, right? So Joshua, good job, buddy. Everybody welcomed you guys. I hope y'all felt welcome last week. I preached God's word, and now some of the ladies, Lindsay and Christy and Dina, are making cookies for your meeting tomorrow night, for your pledge, your fraternity meeting tomorrow night. And then through the church budget, through your giving, we are giving a book to all the pledges, and I actually have one extra for your president of the fraternity. So isn't that awesome how just this one act, maybe all of us doing each of those things, maybe isn't that great, but all of us, the body of Christ, using our gifts, doing different things, being involved, I thought that was just awesome. So I praise God for that. And I pray that we would have so many more opportunities for each of us to play our part and to share Christ with those around us on campus and in this community. So as we experience Christ together on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, every day, we will find Jesus to be our peace in the storm. So this past week, when I was up on campus, I met a student from the Ukraine. And as I spoke with her, she was holding back tears as she told me that her mom and her grandmother were playing their part by making bombs in their home to give to the, you know, to give to the civilians who are defending their city. I'm sure those ladies never thought they would be doing that. So it was heartbreaking to hear what she's going through. But it was also strengthening and encouraging to see the faith of those ladies fighting against the invasion. So our church, on Wednesday night, we wrote those, there's actually two Ukrainian students at Suwannee, and we wrote them a letter, and we delivered them, I guess, on Friday and gave it to them. So I encourage you to pray for those two Ukrainian students. I don't really know them. I don't know if they know the Lord, but we hope we get to continue to minister to them. So when I think about the courageous Ukrainian church, the churches that have chosen to stay when they could have left because they wanted to minister the gospel, how can we not be changed by that? When we see our brothers and sisters in Christ willing to sacrifice for God and for love of their people, how can we honor them? I think one way we can honor our courageous brothers and sisters in Christ is to experience Christ together. That we would do just this, what it says in Ephesians 4, we would experience Christ together, just like they are doing. So whether it's the war in Ukraine, whatever trial comes our way, when we experience Christ together, we remind each other that in Jesus we have a peace that passes all understanding. Just like the eye of the hurricane, when there's a hurricane raging around, there's the peaceful center. This is what Jesus says in John 16:33. I have said these things to you so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will face tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Let's pray together. So, Lord God, we thank you for Jesus, that through his death and resurrection, he has overcome the world. Lord, he has ascended on high and he has given gifts to us. So, Lord, let us be good stewards of the gifts you've given us. Lord, let us continue to experience you together, Lord. Would you do that? Would you draw us in closer together? Lord, would you let us be changed when we see the courage of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world? Lord, let us not be like so many churches in America. Let me not be like so many pastors. Lord, would you help us to cut out all distractions and to just experience you and to live for your glory. So, Lord, bless us today. Fill us with your joy. And we pray that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.